to know where I'm coming from, because I think my position is rather unique, and I think every one of you here knows that yours is too. And no matter what seminar you go to, no matter what you hear, you have to adapt that to your circumstances. And they're going to be a little different than his. Our family situation is entirely different, I can tell already. I am the primary provider in our family right now. So I'll start out with that. Not because I've lost my husband, and not because I'm divorced. We're happily married, and I am the primary provider. So I hope that for some of you, this will point to the fact that circumstances alter situations, and that God is a very creative God, and the balance of Scripture is found in the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. I learned that a long time ago because I was grappling with one verse would say one thing and another verse seemed to contradict it. And I found that in my life that meant that I had to stay on my knees and sensitive to the Lord for His interpretation of that for me in my situation, because it's changed. Change is about every 6 months, and I'm 55, so we've had a lot of changes. I don't know if I'm the programmer in any situation they've told you about where I'm coming from. I came to Glen Eyrie the year they purchased the Glen. I was involved in the purchase of it and lived in the Trotman's home for 4 years, two of those years while Dawson Trotman was still alive. I came here as a nurse to take care of Lila Trotman when she was in bed with tuberculosis in 1954. I became part of the fixture out here and sort of concluded that probably God did not have marriage in the plan for me, because I spent 6 years here at the Glen in the pink house and in the office, and then as a girls worker in Los Angeles and traveling for the NABs for 1 year just before Don and I were married. Don Enright and Rod Sargent were the two eligible bachelors of the Navigators. I remember Dick Halverson once made the statement that women say they don't chase men, but then did you ever see a mousetrap chase a mouse? So I guess Diane and I set our mousetrap, and I could tell you for 1 hour how God brought the two of us together, because it was the beginning of a series of miracles that have taken place in our lives. And that, probably the creativity that God used in bringing us together, is what's helped me be married to a creative man. My husband was the staff artist for the Navigators for 19 years. Left the Navigators to paint wildlife full time. And as he puts it, he left commercial art for starving art. One of the things that I feel is very crucial, and the reason that the first thing I put on my outline was the decision to work or not to work, is that Don and I have had to stop and consider this decision many times in our married life, because I love nursing. I went to Seattle Pacific University, graduating in 1952, because that's what I wanted to do from the time I was about 15, was to be a nurse. I wanted to be an obstetrical nurse, and I absolutely love what I do. Now, I know that when we were married, Don said, "I'm not sure you want to be a wife as much as you want to be a mother." I looked forward to being a mother. I, in my particular situation, had the opportunity to stay home with my children until the first one started junior high. That was because Don and I made many decisions not to buy a piece of property in Black Forest, not to have a nicer home, not to do some things that other people decide to do. But we decided that I would stay home with the children. I'm very grateful for that, because I am working with women who don't have that decision, and they are Christians. I feel one of them has a husband who's out of God's will, but nevertheless, that's where it is, and she must be obedient to him at this point in time. So what I'm basically saying is that what applies to me may not necessarily apply to your circumstances, but we have the same Lord and the same Holy Spirit to lead us in the situation that we're in. Each time the decision came to work or not to work, Don and I had to go to Scripture and decide where our priorities were. Now, I did go to work when Lori started kindergarten. That seemed the ideal. We have three children, and she's the youngest. I went to work two nights a week. That seemed rather innocuous. Two nights a week, you know, and she was in kindergarten. She went to play with her best friend until I woke up about 2 in the afternoon. The problem being, I don't know if there are any nurses here, but I worked 9 nights out of every pay period in my 2 nights a week, and summer was coming, and we had to make the decision whether I was going to get a babysitter or put them in a daycare center during the summer so that I could sleep, because the obligation was to cover for the full-time people when they went on vacation. We decided I'd stay home. The question I had to ask myself each time is, can a job be God's will? Can it ever be God's will for me to go to work? One of the things that is important to me is that I have had to learn and am learning not to compare myself with other people. Whether that be going to work because I don't have as nice a dining room set as my neighbor, and at the time I used to be embarrassed to have Navigator families come to my house for dinner because we had rather ragged upholstery and no carpet on the floor. That seems incredible now. We have hardwood floors. Some people are going back to them. I longed for the day when I had wall-to-wall carpeting. If I'd gone to work, I could have had it. Can a job be God's will? Well, then I had to ask myself, can I say, no, it never is? Or, yes, everyone should be working. That's so simple, isn't it? It would be so simple if we could just say, you know, and I think there are women who are staying home with their children who feel guilty because they're not working. There are those of us who are working. Even when I was working when my kids were teenagers, I felt guilty because I wasn't home when they got home. And I have a husband that works at home, but I'm the mother. And I knew some of their needs, and I felt guilty. Not only because I wasn't home, but when I'm home, I'm not all there. We'll get into that a little later. Then I had to ask myself the question, can a job be my ministry? God challenges us to do everything we do with our whole heart. And what I found was when I did go back to work, and the circumstances were this. It was kind of one of those things. When God brought Don and me together, someone made the statement to Don, whether you like it or not, I think God's pushing you into this. Now, Don was 35 years old at the time. I was 31. I love that kind of decision-making in knowing the will of God, where God says, Joyce, you just sit still, and I'll show you what to do. Don left the Navigators, and we didn't have any health insurance. And we had three children just about to hit teenage. I mean, it's not the real great time to launch out into a new profession. But we decided that the Navigators agreed to carry us on their health insurance for 1 year. And it was almost Christmas, and they called me one day from the office here at the Glen and said, we really need some temporary help out here in Nav Press. And would you be willing to come out and just work part-time? I worked 4 days a week, or 4 hours a day for a while. And that was really great, and the big thing was, yes, it was a ministry. And God had given me 31 years before I was married. 31 years and many of those involved in a real active ministry. And I loved having that ministry be my children. But they were really involved. They were on the swim team, they were in choirs, they were just quite involved. It was in totally different time in their lives. Jana Foster Reynolds had a baby at Penrose Hospital where I had worked labor and delivery. And I knew that the baby had been in some problems, and I called in the middle of the night to find out how she was doing. And Bonnie, the nurse I'd worked with, said, what in the world are you doing these days? And I said, oh, I'm working in an office. I got a call the next day from personnel at Penrose saying, Joyce, we have a position 2 nights a week in labor and delivery. Would you take it? And Don and I felt that since we had not been seeking this, and since this would provide the medical benefits, I'd just go back to work 2 nights a week. The kids are in high school, and it would be a totally different situation. And I can honestly say God led step by step from that time until the time I became head nurse of the unit that was combining and moving to a new hospital. One of the greatest challenges of my life, not only professionally, but to represent Jesus Christ in an impossible situation. Yes, a job can be a ministry. And at that point in life, I was going through the menopause. God's timing in our lives is so crucial. And for every single one of you in this room, it's going to be a little different, because from the time I went to work full time, I have been the primary provider in the sense that we count on my income to pay our daily bills. We count on Don's income, not knowing when it'll come. He may sell three paintings at one show, $4,000 a piece. He may sell nothing for 6 months. And the interesting thing to me is there are other careers that are like this. And my commitment at that point in time between me and God was to Don and his career. To Don and the thing that Don felt God was leading him to do. And it still is. Because Don says, I should quit this and go back into commercial art so you don't have to work. And my response to that is, it was God's will for you to leave the Navigators and do this, and until he leads you out, this is his way of providing. Because he also provided me. I've never suffered empty nest syndrome. They're back and I want them to go away again. They all left and went to college and they keep coming back for periods of time. It's interesting when they come back when they've been independent for 5 years. But when the children started leaving home, I didn't have time to sit around and look at their bedroom and see that they weren't there. I hardly had time to open the door to their bedroom because I was busy. God custom made my job to me. And my timing. The timing in my life. And I really believe that we can look at someone else. I can look at, right now, I look at the one who's the director of nurses, and she's not 40 yet. And I think, oh, what she's accomplished with her life compared to what I've done. I can look at someone else, my friend who just left, friend of 19 years, who's never worked. And there are days when I would give anything to trade places with her. Because she's involved in Bible studies and things like I was before I went back to work. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. When I was married, I thought marriage was the answer. For those of us who are married, sometimes we think maybe single life was the answer all after all. I wanted to have 3 children. There were days with 3 under the age of 3 when I thought, I really wanted this? Am I having fun? And I think it's also important to ask ourselves, can staying home be my career? And it may become mine again. Maybe staying home is the career for some of us. And I really feel that, I don't know, are all of you working women? I believe with all my heart that one of the things we can do as Christians is set up a certain person as a standard, if that's what God's will is for women, whether it be Lila Trotman or Lucy Sani, or there are working wives out here, there are Norma Cosgrove's working some now. Diane Sargent was thinking about it when Rod was going through the bout with cancer. And I don't think there's any one thing that's been so devastating in my Christian life as comparing myself to someone else and thinking probably I was doing it wrong. Instead of finding out what God wanted me to do and realizing that he may not require that of anybody else, that I'm unique. And the thing that's so exciting to me is our uniqueness. There probably isn't another obstetrical nurse in here. There isn't another one that I know of in the country that God has given the opportunity to put together a birth center and make one of the most progressive units in the country. Because my timing was right, my training was right, and the applications were closed, and God spoke to me. I haven't had that much of a definite leading from the Lord very many times. He just said, Joyce, go for it. I went and applied after the applications were closed. They interviewed me for 15 minutes and said, you've got it. And it's been beautiful because it was unique for me. And I think there's nothing else as important for us to know as working or non-working women other than the fact that what you're doing needs to be the will of God for you. Not for your neighbor. Not for anybody else. Now, once I did go back to work, I had the problem of prioritizing. Let all things be done decently in orders, 1 Corinthians 14:40, right? And I am a fairly organized person. I work, what I do fast. And it took some real juggling of my thinking, because I have that Friday night thing. For a while in nursing, I didn't have it because I worked weekends. Once I became head nurse, I had weekends off. And by the time I came to Friday, I felt I owed myself the weekend. Prioritizing, though, is not that simple. I have to get up. I have to be at work at 7. It was very easy. It's always been easy for me in nursing to rationalize that's too early for a quiet time. I did it when I was in training. When I first came in contact with the Navigators, I was in nurses training. And when they talked to us about having a devotional life before our day started, I thought, my gosh, she has no idea how early my day starts. Trouble is, she was a nurse, so she did know. But Mother's Days start just as early. I remember when Lucy Sanny said once when her six... I lived with the Sannies in the Pink House for a while, and it seemed like no matter where her bedroom was, when her foot touched the floor, the kids knew it, and they were awake, and it's pretty hard to beat the kids as far as your devotional life. But I did find one thing very, very true, and I'm sure you've all found this too. Whatever your new challenge is, whether it be you've been working and you have a baby and you stay home. And, you know, I hadn't been working in a job at Penrose Hospital when I married Don. I'd been working for the Navigators, and that was a 12, 14-hour day job from the time I hit Glen Eyrie until I was married. It was total involvement. And probably most of you are the kind of women that you're totally involved in whatever it is you're doing, whether it be homemaking, being a new mother, or working, you're totally involved. And to switch gears and come home to teenagers and all their problems when your involvement up to that point in time had been women having babies and the problems that can come as a result of that, took some prioritizing, took some organizing of my life. That, you know what it did? It did the same thing as making the decision whether or not to work. Put me back on my knees to keep my priorities straight day by day. My priority today might not be my priority tomorrow. My priorities changed when Scott left for college. He went to Seattle. You know what my priority changed to? Being sure I got the time to pray for him because he was gone. My priorities... Pardon? Yes. Yes. Because, you know, the girls will tell you he's the apple of my eye. When your son leaves and you're a mother, it's different than when your daughters leave. The withdrawal symptoms are different. The awareness that you're in a different season of your life. And I've given a talk to several women's groups lately on seasons of our lives. And maybe that's exactly what this is deciding what season you're in. And it's going to change. To me, that's the neat thing about this whole thing is the changes mean that we don't... I've never been bored or felt like I've gotten into a rut. It seems like everything, every time I do, God kicks the end of it out and we have to go on to something else, and it's neat. The organizing of my life involves the prioritizing. Figuring out where I am right now and where my husband is, Don's needs change. And Don's needs have been very real since he went out on his own. It's not easy to be an independent businessman with an unknown income and a conscientious Christian husband and provider. See, if he wasn't a conscientious provider, he wouldn't really care. He'd love the fact that I'm the primary provider right now. I happen to have a husband that I have to be very sensitive to because it bothers him. And yet before the Lord, we feel at this point it's God's will for us. So where does that put me? That puts me having to be close enough to the Lord that I get my answers from Him and don't do my grumbling to my husband. But the exciting thing to me is God meets us where we are because He's enabled me to love what I do. If I didn't like my job, Don couldn't handle it. But I love my job. Well, not always. Some days. It isn't the job I don't like, it's the stress of our competitive world. And I don't know how much you know about hospitals right now, but the competition is fierce. And I'm right now in a job that's public relations and marketing for our unit. And we're strong competitors with Memorial Hospital. We advertise, we do everything, it's that stress, and the roles are reversed in our case. I come home and Don's been home all day, working in his studio. I've been out where I've had it up to here with people. And it's a role reversal. And I know there would be some in Christian circles that would feel it's wrong. For us, it is right. And I think we have to be very sensitive to this, that God picks certain ones out. And I was reading an article, I guess it was in, where did I read the article recently, on Martin Luther. In his time, he was thought somewhat of a rebel because he was so different. And maybe God calls you to a uniqueness in your particular situation. And I know lots of mothers of small children who feel guilty because they're not out there working, because they know very few that aren't. When you get to the point of room mother in grade school, you'll find you'll be the only one available. Everyone else is working. When I was a room mother, we had lots of us. Now it's hard for them to find room mothers who are not working.
But the world makes you feel guilty.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But the Christian world can make you feel guilty for working. And you know what a dear, dear Christian friend of mine who was in a Bible study I had years ago, she came in one day, and if you take nothing else but this away from here today, she said, you know, God showed me something this week. He doesn't want me to feel guilty. I have thought of that so many times. I have felt guilty because my house wasn't as nice as somebody else's because I'm working. I have felt guilty because I'm working and I'm the provider, and I've heard people say that's not scriptural. I have felt guilty when I was home and I could have been working and Don wouldn't have had such a burden because the navigator income at that point in time was pretty low. You know, I don't care where you are. There are reasons that the enemy can make us feel guilty. And that's where I think we have to draw on the reserve of our years of finding out what God's will is for us and standing with our feet solid in that. This is what's right for me. It doesn't matter what the world says, be it Christian or non-Christian. Some of the problems and rewards of this have been kind of unique and surprising to me. One of the problems is my years as a nurse and as a navigator caused me to want to be the best at everything. Dawson Trotman was a perfectionist. I'm somewhat of that myself, and nursing requires that. They want you to be the best at every ward you go to, every new service that you're on, you try to be the best. I have a bit of it in myself. There's a lot of pride in that. But when you go to work, then you have that challenge to be the best at work, be the best mother possible, because you certainly wouldn't want to have the guilties over going to work and not being a good mother. And then you want to be the best wife possible, because you don't want to slight your husband. You see women all around us losing their husbands because they put career first. So I don't want to do that. I want to put Don first, God, and then Don and my family and my job. But my job's an 8-hour, well, in fact, while I was head nurse for 3 years, it was a 12-hour day job. And so you get exhausted trying to be superwoman. I remember when I was expecting my second child and I said to Marina Downing, my gosh, you know, Scott takes full time. How do you handle 7? There are only 24 hours in the day and that's all you can use. Yeah. And so you have to, again, start prioritizing and start just saying, you know, just Bob Foster's little book on Job has you just rolling your burden on the Lord. And I would get up many, many mornings and just do literally like this in my devotions, Lord, here it is. I've got too big a burden today. I can't be all things. I can't be the best nurse possible for all the rest of the nurses that are working for me. I can't be the best wife and the best mother and the best housekeeper and the best cook and the best and be spiritually on top for all the needs of my children. I can't do it. But I can be the best that you want me to be. The rewards to me, one of the rewards has been spiritual. I guess I'm grateful for anything that makes me realize I can't do it. I can't do it in my own strength. And if you're called upon to work and to be a wife and mother, that's a pretty big job. And a lot of women think they're doing it and they're failing. They're finding out they lost the husband, or suddenly the children are gone and they're not walking with the Lord. I don't want any of those things. So one of the rewards for me has been a new challenge spiritually. One of the rewards has been financial. You know what I have to thank God for is to know my parents sacrificed to give me a college education, and probably I had a job I loved, and quite frankly, it's been nice to know I've had a very specific part in enabling my children to have the same thing I had. Whether that part is in helping your husband, my husband doesn't happen to have a job that would enable us to do that at this point in time. And we're a team. One of them has been personal. One of them has just been the personal satisfaction of just the role I've had and the part of other nurses who are having to work. And Joyce, you're a Christian too. How do you handle it? We have 75 nurses working in our department, and I would say probably a fourth of those nurses are Christians of one phase of development and growth or another. And some of them are going through some real struggles. Some of them married to non-Christians. And I guess I am grateful to the Lord that after the years of raising little children, He's put me back into a ministry with women. I might have chosen Bible studies in the neighborhood, but all my neighbors are working. We had them when they were home, but they're all working now. I wouldn't have one. I could have found another Bible study situation, but for God, God chose for me right now the ministry of the women I'm working with. And it's a unique situation. Very few women I know are working with 74 other women in a very close relationship. Women who are watching me as I lose my head nurse position and go into another type of work because I'm not really an administrator, and they know the struggles I've gone through because of that. I'm a people person. I'm a head nurse, but I'm not an administrator, and head nurse's role is changing. So I have been through some really deep personal struggles, and it's all been out in the open for my whole staff. So my Christian life has been on display. In a way, it wouldn't have been in my home. And perhaps in God's total plan, I've been used in a way I couldn't have been because my children are gone. One of the things that's very hard for me to take, and that's why this has been one of the hardest years of my life, because I've been subject to a lot of criticism, has been criticism. And let me tell you, ladies, you'll be criticized if you do work, and you'll be criticized if you don't work. And this is that same thing, you know. Why aren't you working? Or the Christian circles might say, why are you working? I think it'll come from both places, and I think it depends on you. I think the heavy might vary. What do you all think? The heavy for me has been the Christian. Other Christians?
My daughter's saying,
oh, and see, I've already been there, and I'm not a grandmother. I have a nurse that works with me that says, oh, I just love it, because whenever one of us has a baby, my mother comes because she quit working. And I thought, oh. That's heavy. Do your children live the same place you live? I mean, the same area? How many of you work? Where's your biggest criticism come from? Or have you had any? Okay. Well, you know what criticism I got when I came here? My mother. Joyce, you spent 5 years learning how to be a nurse. What are you doing cleaning the pink house and washing Dawson Trotman's clothes? This isn't what we put you through college for. What's your answer to them? Are you folks Christians? So are mine. Do you know what I'm looking at now? If one of my kids were to go with a group like the Navigators the way I did, I'd be hurt and confused and worried. Because my parents didn't know anything about the Navigators. First time my mother came to visit me at the Glen, it helped more than I can ever say. But until then, it was an unknown, and they didn't say much at first. But, you know, they didn't know but what it was Moonies. And I think one of the things we need to do is put all this together that we've been talking to about and communicate with these people why we're doing what we're doing and what we're getting from it. And it eventually will help. Now, some kids that have come to the Glen have had more understanding from non-Christian parents than I got from my Christian parents. You know, if I'd gone to the mission field as a nurse, they could have understood it. But the navigators who wanted all my life savings to pay for a place called Glen Eyrie, there were lots of parents that were Christians that were really concerned about this sect. Where's your criticism come from?
I think it depends on the length of time that you're out there in the working world and how long you can get. Right away, it would probably be from your peers, from your friends, from those that you have come in contact with outside of the working world, your neighbors, your supervisors. And then, as they gradually get used to that, sometimes the criticism then comes from the home because you are becoming accustomed to the working outside. And family still can't quite handle it because you're getting used to the idea of being in the working world. But they're still not used to it. And then they can find some more of some criticism. So I think it goes both ways. But that's why I'm wondering, is it...
I think it's going to change.
Yeah.
See, I've been criticized. Probably one of my strongest critics has been my oldest daughter. But her criticism has been because of the pressure I was under. She felt like I should just get out from under that pressure and that I certainly should not give it 12-hour days. And I'll tell you what has really been helpful to me is when the total support from my husband, because he said, you know, Becky, when God gives us a job to do, expects us to do it with our whole heart, that's scriptural. God has given your mother a unique job right now, and she's doing it with her whole heart. And he used it to say, now, Becky, how about you? Whatever job God gives you to do, and I think that there are a lot in the younger generation that do not have a strong work ethic. And Don and I just prayed that God would use this to show her that you do what the job requires as long as that's what God has given you to do. And that's my other answer as far as working. I will work until God says, Joyce, you're not to work any longer. And then I will ask for the grace to be willing to give it up. She said, Mother, I don't think you're willing to quit. And I said, oh, yes, I am. But I have not been led of the Lord to quit the way I was led to go in. There have been days I wanted to run away from it. I thought it would be nice to go out to lunch with my friends again. I've lost friends as a result of working, not because we've lost the friendship. I don't have time for it. Some of you know Liberta Dewhurst and Bess Perkins here in town. They were two of my dearest friends. We're still friends. But you can't maintain that closeness when you are not together. I'd love to go back to that in God's timing. I think another place the criticism is going to come from is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, if one of the kids has problems, then I automatically think, would they have had this trouble if I hadn't been working? And if I'd stayed home, I would have thought maybe they wouldn't have had these problems if I'd gotten out of the home and was working, right? Any other place that criticism has come from that's surprised you? What about the just a housewife syndrome? It's a big one right now. It's a tough one.
Yes. I was thinking in my situation, I was really... My mother almost worked, and well, she had to do it. My parents didn't work, and she was struggling, but we've got to work, and we're going to travel to the board, and we're going to get all the patients and all that. And it's really surprising to me that I'm doing it. But I feel internally guilty for not working sometimes.
Isn't that wonderful as Christians that we feel, you know, my daughter thinks this, oh, God couldn't possibly have marriage and a family for me because I want it too much. And we have sort of a concept, if I'm enjoying this, it must be wrong. I loved having small children. and being home with them. And you know, that's the biggest desire my daughters have, and the biggest fear is that they won't have that privilege of being home with their children. You know why? They thanked us for sticking in there and for my not working when they were little. So hang in there. And at the time, it was beginning to be, why aren't you, especially as a nurse, if you've got a profession, I don't know what you, what were you before? I want to tell you something funny. First time I went back as a nurse, I didn't know for sure I was going to work labor and delivery all the time. I bought a white uniform. Never used it. But my daughter was just really concerned, and we knew it. She was first grade. And finally she said, Mommy, can you be a nurse and a mommy too? See, I hadn't worked. And so her concept was, I had to be one or the other. And it was a revelation to her that I could be both. But that's the problem too, isn't it, trying to be both?
Oh, yeah.
How does your husband feel about it?
Oh, he's very, he feels I shouldn't have to do a compassion. And although our budget is easy, he's our budget. However, we can match. He feels to me about it. Right.
And there are a couple other fallacies in that. It might not help your budget at all. It doesn't really help your budget if you're the second income, because number one, it can, you know, the fallacy of that, it can put you into another income bracket and you just start living on a higher plane and you use it all. You know, it was a revelation to me to find out who are the ones that pass bad checks in town. It's the colonel's wives. They overdraw their checking account. Listen, because they don't have enough money. So that's, you know, as I look back, there might have been some things we'd had when we were little, but you know what our kids say now? I said, well, you know, we could have had, perhaps, I've never had a buffet. I don't have a microwave or a dishwasher, ladies. It doesn't matter to our kids. They could care less, but they have thanked us for my being at home. Now, the reason I hesitate to say that is I have nurses I work with who are the sole income for their family. My kid's favorite teacher at Coronado High School was the income for her family because her husband was a quadriplegic. And she was the income for their family. We can't put one another into a box. But Philippians 4 is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible anyway, I think. And I've been living in it lately because I've given up my head nurse position and I'm having terrific withdrawal symptoms. I'm seeing a counselor. Penrose Hospital has what they call employee's assistance. And I'm going to her for the grieving process of the loss of a totally consuming power job. I've lost that power. So I've lived in Philippians 4, and you all know what it says. Be content with what you have. And you know what? We're not content with what we have, and then we lose it and wish we had it back. And you could spend time worrying about whether I should be working because my friends are working and I could add to the income, and then all of a sudden he's grown up and you think, gosh, I wish I had it to do or I'd stay home with him. But I think the secret has come to me in being content with what I have. Be thankful. I have a sister that I think is a pretty incredible woman who went to the University of California at age 48, got her degree in interior design, was all set with for this beautiful job. Her children are raised. Her husband's gone a lot, and so she was going to work as an interior designer. And just before she graduated, had carpal tendon surgery, found out she has lupus. Had to turn down the job, and she's on chemotherapy, and she's been through some real struggles. I'm not here to tell you that story. I'm here to tell you the secret in her life right now, and the secret in my life, and the secret in your life. Be thankful for what you have. And she spends half an hour in the morning thanking God that this isn't her children that have lupus. She thanks God that it's probably helped her marriage, which was struggling. She thanks God she has a home with a pool where she can do her exercises and not fall. She thanks God that they've come as far as they have. They can at least diagnose lupus and know a little bit what to do about it. And she thanks God that she can write children's stories, even though she can't do her internship. She just says, I just go through the discipline of thanking God for what I have. Right now, I have a job that's, in the world's eyes, lesser than the head nurse position, but it's a challenge, and it meets the needs for my husband and family and myself right now. And so I get up in the morning, and I have started for the past 3 weeks, I have read this chapter every morning. Well, see, that's what I was for years. I never used my degree until I got the head nurse position. Never once had a job that it mattered. What do you think's an answer to that? If you've got a degree, and some of you may have a master's.
Well, I'm saying as far as me, like in the community I live in, my hygiene is clean. I mean, I lived there 2 years and I had like 14, 15 calls. And the supplies or the demand is so high. And then they look at you when they find out you aren't working. And it's like you're doing a dishonor to them or something. And you have to explain yourself everywhere you go. You know, you aren't working. You know, I know Dr. Holly, you know, and everybody's got a job for you immediately, you know. And you're saying, wait a minute, that is what I need or not.
Do you have children? Do you know what my answer would be? I have a job. I have a full-time job. The most demanding job you'll ever have. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have a friend that has five children. Whenever you go out and buy something, you give them a check, and they say, it doesn't work. And you know, it's right there on the top. I have five children. If you don't think I work, you're crazy.
I really feel you can use it as an opportunity to let people know this is where my priorities are right now. My sister told me something, this wonderful sister of mine, and when I was really down about my job, three times now I've flown to Sacramento and spent a week with her. I go to her to be encouraged. She eloped with the minister's son when she was 19. I got married when I was 31, so there's a little difference. She already had four kids when I got married, and so I went to Seattle to get ready. Don proposed on February 28th, and we were married on May 28th, so we didn't have a lot of time. So her husband said, well, I suppose you've explained to her all the things about husband-wife relationship. She said, well, you know, she knows a lot about that already, but the one thing she did tell me was this. Joyce, you've got the rest of your life for your career and to be a perfect housekeeper and all these other things, but you may only have about 20 years to invest in the lives of your children. And you could have a really clever answer that would be a ministry to them. I am investing my life right now. There will be time for my career. And I feel that's what I did. I invested in the lives of my three children. When I could have... Now, see, I could have... Perhaps I don't have the abilities for it, but I could have done something like a director of nurses position by the age of 40, had I not, number one, invested my life in the time I spent with the navigators. To a lot of people, I was crazy. I was crazy like a fox because I was doing what God wanted me to do. The second thing I could have done is when Don and I got married, I could have kept working. And I could have probably had, there are any one of a number of real career positions in nursing right now that make big money. But I invested in my spiritual life and my family's life, and I make no apologies. But I have to have that clear in my mind before I can answer someone else with the conviction that stops their questions. Oh, it's nothing is always stays clear. Has anyone ever had it all stay clear all the time?
That anything else can say. though, so involved with the struggle that the Lord's really nailing me on is Allison and Jones of Congress. And it's just now starting to really chill out because the Lord is helping.
I tell you, ladies, I think if we hang in there another just a few more years, the world is changing. I think they're beginning to see it. And I think there are women who have... I guess what I believe is this, and I think we're supposed to be wrapping up. Care one night, and they said, you'll have this, this, and this patient. This guy has a tracheotomy. And all you have to do is irrigate it. And I went and looked at it. It was plastic. I'd never seen a plastic... I hadn't seen a tracheotomy in 25 years. So you know what I learned? I went back and I said, okay, now, if you'll show me once, I can do it the rest of the night. They had disposable everything. They had disposable set to do the irrigation. And so she showed me once, and I did it. I went to intensive care, and I said, well, you've scraped the bottom of the barrel tonight. I'm a labor nurse. You show me what to do, and I'll do it. And she said, that's all right, Joyce. If they sent me to labor and delivery, I'd die. So God was meeting me. He gave me a refresher course. I floated all over that hospital, scared to death on the way to every place I went, but I would just tell them where I was coming from. Do you know what happened then? What was my first... Why was I hired as head nurse? Because I was excited about cross-training labor nurses to do nursery nurses into intensive care nurse, nursery nurses to do labor and delivery. I was excited about the cross-training because I knew I had been doing it ever since I'd gotten back in. And so that's what got me my job. And that's why the nurses said, okay, Joyce, if you could do it, we can do it. So that's a long way to say, go back to the fact, God knows what he's about.
Which is exactly why I think we as women have that goal for us. Because we can, there are things that God has given us that we can do by working in the home and working in the home. We have that problem. We created this sure. And it may not...
That's right.
You know, and it's in God's timing. For us to do whatever we can do
within that.
Yeah.
And isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
It's in a sense God saying the same thing as he did to Mary when he told her she was going to be the mother of Jesus. It was unique. It had never happened before. And every woman in this room is unique. And something's going to happen to you that God's never done before. Because we're living in a changing society and none of it is taking God by surprise. And so he's going to uniquely equip you younger women to meet these changing things. And I would just challenge you. I think the thing that's helped me the most in my position in nursing right now is when I was in training, I used to hear older nurses say, well, no, when I was in training, we had to work 7 days a week, 12 hours, 14 hours a day, and these young whippersnappers don't have to work very much. And I remember saying, God, don't let me ever say, now when I was in training. Now, don't let any of us say, now when I was young, it wasn't this way, because it's changing so fast that I believe the biggest challenge for us as Christian wives, mothers, and career women, whatever it is God wants you to do or not do, the biggest challenge is to be creative enough to be part of this world, but not in it. To be part of the answer. And I, by getting back into nursing at this point in time, was part of the answer. The answer tomorrow may be for me to get out and move someplace with Don where he needs to be, and that's okay. But you know what it is? It's walking that tightrope where day by day I have to be in the Word of God, reading portions like Philippians 4. I have Isaiah 41 and Philippians 4 and Ephesians. I have certain portions I go to when I'm beginning to teeter on the tightrope. God, what is my role today? You know, men don't have to have the changing roles we have. But we take on some of those pressures by going into the working field. And maybe, if nothing else, it gives us an appreciation of that. But I don't think that we can say that there isn't an example in Scripture. There are examples throughout Scripture of women who worked. And you know what I read this week? And look at Esther. Was Esther a businesswoman? She saved a whole people by being at the right place at the right time, and that was not a desirable place to be. The job God gave her, I wouldn't have wanted. But she was there. Who knows but what, for this very hour, you've been brought forth. And that was one of that book was one of the portions God used when I became the head nurse. Who knows but what, for this very hour, you've been brought forth. Okay, then her job was done, and she went on to something else. And you know what? It must have been very glorious at the time it happened. Then all of a sudden, probably everybody forgot about Esther. Any questions before we wrap this up? Some of you haven't. Do you work?
No.
You do? Pardon? You work, though. And you know, you learn good work habits here. They're doing good stead, whether it's in marriage or in another job. Let's just wrap it up by reading some. As I went to work this week, I reread this portion one morning because I was having some real struggles, and everybody, I've been rather transparent at work, and I think that's important as Christians. I don't think as Christians we need to let everybody think, oh, well, I'm a Christian, so everything's always wonderful, because it isn't true. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean we don't have to grapple with decisions, shall I work or shall I not work? It isn't that simple. We're not living in a simple society. But I love this, and I wish you would go home, if you have a Phillips translation, and read this portion in Phillips. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, whether it's in your home or in your job. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I think that's important for you as a mother with a small child. Don't be anxious about whether you should or shouldn't work. Just leave your petition before the Lord. Don't be anxious about whether or not you should be married. Don't be anxious about your career in nursing. Because that's a real source point with nurses now, because if we stay out too long, we lose it. We worked hard to get it. Not only that, we love it. Don't be anxious about it. Doesn't say don't look into it, don't go to continuing education classes, and don't do what you can to keep it up. It says don't be anxious about it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then go on to 11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. God's sovereignty and customizing. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I put in that this week in my journal. I know what it is to work, and I know what it is to not work. I know what it is to be the head nurse, and I know what it is to be nothing. And by that I mean in that power struggle. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. And I am prepared, ladies, and I have told the Lord this, to quit working if that's what He leads me to do and live on Don's income. And I may do it. But I want to know God wants it, not the world, not my daughters. Either my husband or the Lord can ask me to do it, no one else. I'm not going out on, it's not a step of faith if it isn't God's step for me. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, and you may live in a little want if you don't work. You may live in a little want if you do work. I can do everything through Jesus who gives me the strength. Part I didn't hear.
Often marriages grow when there is want.
Oh, yes. Marriages grow when there's want. Lives grow when there's want. My mother became a widow when she was 45. My father had a sudden heart attack. And it changes your whole life. And that's why I say, We have to make it customized, because God customizes our lives. He doesn't. I used to think, what if God takes Don home before we're married? Someone challenged me with that when we were engaged. You know, the Lord may not intend that you ever marry Don. He may take him home. It's happened. People have been known to have automobile accidents on honeymoons. And I remember the night in Chicago, it was rainy and cold, and I looked out my apartment window, and I called Don at work, and he left work 3 hours before that. He wasn't home. He didn't even have any Chicago ID on him. And I thought, Cook County Hospital, morgue. I was just pregnant. He had gone through Marshall Fields, and all the NAV men from the Glen were there at a conference, and he saw him all over Marshall Fields, and he was just having a wonderful time, not knowing that I'd known he left work. You know why it happened? God said to me that night, I am your husband, and I may choose to take Don home. Where is your dependence? Is your dependence on your job? Is your dependence on staying home and not having to work? Is your dependence on your husband? Is your dependence on small children? Wherever it is, God doesn't want it to be there. He wants it to be in Jesus Christ. And if we're dependent on Him, then day by day, He can lead us into the next circumstance for our life, and it'll be right. It'll be exciting. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You very much that You customize our lives through Your Holy Spirit. For each one of us in this room and the lives we impact, our sphere of influence, we pray that You will help us to be so sensitive to Your Holy Spirit that we'd be creative and responsive to that customizing. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.